This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
All right, Clay Travis is with us now. OutkickTheCoverage.com, Fox Sports, FS1, with Lock It In every single day at 3:30 at Clay Travis on Twitter. And his book is Republicans Buy Sneakers Too. He's with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. What's up, Clay? How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Doing great. Thanks a lot. It feels like this Super Bowl could show us the torch has been passed to Patrick Mahomes as the best player in the NFL. That may be prisoner of the moment stuff, but it looks like Tom Brady's career is nearing an end and Patrick Mahomes could be the best player for the next decade. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. And I think unlike Tom Brady, who had in his conference a big time, you know, incredible talent to compete against in Peyton Manning, I'm not sure who the Peyton Manning is to Patrick Mahomes as Tom Brady. And so, yeah, I don't think it's a ludicrous idea at all to contemplate or believe that that we could be in a situation where Patrick Mahomes is beginning an incredible run of dominance in the AFC. Now, having said that, look, I'm down in South Florida right now in Miami, and a lot of people probably would have said that about Dan Marino. Sorry to rain on your parade there.
No, perhaps, it's true.
You know, back in the day, I think we underrate, for the most part, how difficult it is for most people to get to the Super Bowl. And you look, Tom Brady's been to 9. That's not normal, right? So if we had to set the over-under for Patrick Mahomes, I think probably the number's around 4. And the reason why I would set it at 4, which I think is pretty high, is, look, John Elway went to 5. Peyton Manning went to 4. And you know, most guys do not get to more than one or two Super Bowls in their life. And so a lot of times, I think with Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, for instance, you're only going to get to one. You're only going to get one opportunity. So that is why winning when you're there is so seismically important. You know, if we've been talking, we may probably were 4 or 5 years ago when Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. I think, you know, LT probably would have come on and said over under 3 Super Bowl appearances for Cam Newton. And I don't think it would have been crazy if he had set the number at 0.5, right? Meaning he'd only go to one more for the rest of his career. But I don't think Cam Newton's going to go to another Super Bowl. And I don't think Matt Ryan's going to go to another Super Bowl. And certainly Dan Marino only went to one. So just because you look like you're going to be in a position to win multiple Super Bowls doesn't mean you actually will, which is why when you get there, you need to win. And frankly, why also getting to a Super Bowl is a big deal and why it hurts if you're a Titans fan to get to the AFC Championship game for the first time in 17 years. Because you just don't know when you're going to be in that position again. You got to win a couple of playoff games. It's hard to do in order to put yourself in a position to make the Super Bowl.
Clay, Andy Reid seems like he's in a unique spot to me because he's done absolutely everything but win a Lombardi Trophy. And I don't know if there's another coach in sport right now that is in Andy Reid's situation, if that makes any sense.
Well, look, I think there are 6 coaches right now in the NFL you could point to and say they're a cut above everybody else. And I'm cutting them above like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, who were super young, right? And we still don't know what their longevity is going to be. But Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, and Pete Carroll are 5 guys that I think, given their age and their history, you would have to say are probably the 5 most accomplished coaches in the NFL.
And they've all won championships.
That's the thing. They've all won Super Bowls. And I think the 6th guy that deserves to be in that group based on his history is Andy Reid. But he's 14-14 all-time in the playoffs, and he's only been to one Super Bowl, and that was a very long time ago, speaking of the difficulty of getting back. And he lost that game. So I think Andy Reid, I started off my show this morning talking about it, I think Andy Reid has more at stake from a legacy perspective than any other player or coach who's going to be in this game.
Since you're on the ground there, obviously last night with the opening night, Kobe Bryant's passing had a big, big impact on the questions that were asked and the answers that the players wanted to give. How long until, as Sunrise brought moving past that story, even at the Super Bowl location with all the media there?
Well, we talked about it. I think it's going to be past that for television this afternoon for the Lock It In show that I do. But we talked about it a decent amount on the radio program this morning still. And I think the story has continued to evolve. To me, on Monday, I don't know what you guys did, but we did basically a Kobe Bryant memorial service on the radio where people could talk about the best moments of Kobe's career. But I think as more days pass, and we're, you know, basically 2 days, 48 hours since the death we all became aware of, I think there are difficult questions about Kobe Bryant's legacy that deserve to be contemplated and debated. I think, you know, the rape charge is a big part of his legacy. And I know people have difficulty with the idea that both good and bad can dwell in the same person. And I mean, I think you could just point to a guy like Bill Cosby and say, it's possible for someone to be a great comedian and maybe even a great father and also be a rapist, right? Like, which is what the court determined that Bill Cosby was. So I think it's possible that Kobe Bryant could be an incredible basketball player, a very good dad, and also have been a rapist. So I think that's hard for people to kind of handle the cognitive dissonance of you know, people being complex and retaining within themselves both good and bad. And I think that's a debate. I think there'll be a lot of discussion about what happened with the helicopter. Why did it go down? What was in play there? I think there are certainly more stories that will come, but I think the question that's always a delicate one and an interesting one is, what is owed to the dead in terms of mourning and sort of a grace period? I'm not the kind of guy, and I think most people probably listen here as well. Like, everybody at their funeral, you don't start off with the worst thing that they did in their life and or the worst thing they were accused of in their life. And so, but at some point for a public figure, I do think the larger context becomes discussable. And we had this discussion last night just out to dinner. You know, what is the point of redemption? What can you be accused of that's so bad it's impossible to ever forgive or forget? In the world of sports, Ray Lewis was accused of double murder and charged with double murder and went on trial for it. And he's got a statue outside of Baltimore Ravens Stadium, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you have, let's say, Mike Tyson, who served time for rape in prison. And now he's the lovable guy from The Hangover, who everybody is, you know, does stand-up acts now. And so I do think, what is the limit of forgiveness? What is the limit of redemption? That factors into a certain degree with the Kobe Bryant story as well.
Clay, I don't know if you've seen the story. It's broke in the last 30 minutes. Amazing. And Dunaway and I were both looking at it. But a backpack belonging to former NBA star Allen Iverson containing $500,000 worth of jewelry was stolen yesterday morning at a hotel in Philadelphia. What would be the point of bringing $500,000 worth of jewelry out in a backpack?
What would be the point of having $500,000 worth of jewelry?
That's another good point.
Because it's not like, you know, he's trying to smuggle money in. You know, like, when I think of why you would have a lot of expensive jewelry, it's like, oh, I'm trying to leave a country without reporting all my assets coming in. Like, it's embezzlement, right? Like, that's to me why you would get expensive jewelry, travel to a new country, and then try to get that money back out when you are, you know, basically trying to avoid taxes or whatever else it might be. But I don't ever understand the jewelry decision. I certainly don't understand why, if you had like 500 grand in jewelry, you'd be carrying it around in a backpack to begin with, to allow it to be stolen. So, you know, my alarm bells always kind of go off in situations like these. And I think, you know, is this an example of insurance fraud? I don't know. But it just seems strange to me to buy 500 grand in jewelry and then to be in a position where you could lose 500 grand. Look, I don't even like to buy $100 sunglasses. Like, yeah. I buy cheapo sunglasses all the time because if I had a $100 pair of sunglasses and I lost it, I'd be so mad. You know, if I lose a $15, $10, $5 pair of sunglasses, I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, that's just par for the course. But I can't ever keep up with my sunglasses. The last thing I'd want to do is have a super expensive jewelry thing that I was worried about.
He is Clay Travis. He is down in Miami. Follow him at Clay Travis on Twitter. See, lock it in, FS1, every single day at 3:30. Clay, thank you for the time.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Take care. Clay Travis with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline at your favorite retailer now. Three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.